everyone's wondering. When the economy goes down, then what do you have left to hold people together? So I'm finding this is true whether in India or South America or Russia. Due to the worldwide or global communication system, satellite television, cable TV, internet is everywhere, people's expectations are becoming quite common. You're having a global culture, making a global marketplace, in that people want the same things. Now that sounds very convenient if you're a multinational corporation. You know, if everybody in India and Peru and the USA and New Zealand want the same products, that's great for your business. There's no more ethnic differentiation, no more local cultural idiosyncrasies. Everyone can, you know, go for McDonald's. It's like in India, they have McDonald's. They don't sell any beef at the McDonald's in India. They sell lamb burgers called Maharaj burgers. But it's still McDonald's. And in all these developing countries, the people get a real buzz out of the presence of this global culture in their country. Ah, yes, we have McDonald's. In Russia, you'll find McDonald's everywhere. That's just not that we're especially focusing on McDonald's, but that's a common scapegoat. Worldwide oneness in terms of consumer products. People's desires are starting to become the same. And I can see the problems, the personal problems are starting to become the same. Even in India, now there's talk about stress management. In the land of meditation and the land of Dharma, now people are concerned about stress. People are concerned that perhaps a frantic pursuit of luxuries doesn't really satisfy the self. And so people are starting to talk about emptiness. That's quite amazing for places with a strong traditional culture. Even South America has a strong Hispanic Catholic culture. And the same thing is happening. Because television is creating a uniform or level playing field in terms of desire. It doesn't create a level playing field in terms of fulfillment of desire, but everyone has the right to desire. A false sense of equality and democracy is created in terms of desire. You can desire, I can desire, we're all equal. But in terms of fulfillment of desires, there's so much inequality. And of course, Australia, New Zealand, no longer can someone bank on working for the same company for 20 years. This used to be the ideal. I mean, never was it the extreme of Japan, where people were sure they join a firm when they're 20, they'll be with that firm when they're 75. It was never like that here. Australia, New Zealand, States, whatever. But at least people had some idea that if they did a good job and they treated the company right or their business that they worked for, they'd be treated right. That's all out the window now. People do not know what their future is with the corporations and companies they work for. This past trip I came from, the last leg, I went from India to Australia, and there I talked to an Australian manager, high-level manager, of a ceramics factory making industrial ceramics. So he was telling me, people who have worked 10 or 15 years in middle management, they are being laid off with 10 minutes warning. You can imagine what that feels like. He's told me one person, he was the typical, like, all you gotta do is put in an effort and you'll be successful. Make the maximum effort and you'll get the maximum result. So he would overdo his job. He'd come in at 7:30 in the morning instead of 9, and he'd leave at 8 o'clock at night instead of 6. He was determined, he was convinced, you just put in a maximum effort, your efforts will be noticed, you'll rise up the company ladder without a doubt, just work, 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 sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. He neglected his family, and he just put everything he had into the job. So, one Friday, Friday is when they usually do these things, Friday morning, because then, because this executive was explaining to me, they do it on Friday morning, that everyone's off for Saturday and Sunday, and the word doesn't get around the company too much, in terms of causing an immediate, disturbance. People are looking forward to the weekend, and they, by the time Monday comes around, they stagger in the office, they're not so... roused up. But if you would lay somebody off on Monday or Tuesday, it gives like several days for the other people at the workplace to really get inflamed and start criticizing the management and mainly reducing productivity. So they tell them on Friday morning, they just call you into the office and say, can you be out of here in 10 minutes? We're sorry for you. That's it for you. I said, well, why do they do that? Why 10 minutes? He said, because everything is computerized these days. They're afraid that if they give you too much time to leave, you'll get on the computer system and destroy something. So therefore, they do it real quick. Can you be out in 10 minutes? If not, we can send somebody to help you pack your things. He said, sometimes they even tell them, look, if you can't pack up everything in 10 minutes, just take your personal belongings and leave everything, and we'll clean up after you. But they're so afraid that, you're going to throw a rage, and, you get on the computer system, everything's computerized, and just, do something that causes havoc. It'll, just take them a huge effort to fix. That's what it is. Can you please be out of here in 10 minutes? I'm sorry, but we no longer have work for you. So this executive was describing these grown men, these adult men who've worked for the company for 15 years, they just break down and cry. Like, this can't be. They literally can't believe their ears. This can't be. I've given them 15 years. I don't know if any of you have ever done something, worked at a place for 10 or 15 years. Anyone here ever done that? Yes, you have?
Yeah.
I mean, you get into a routine, right? Mm. It's like it becomes your home.
Yes,
you can. Yeah. Well, you actually spend more time there probably than at home. And so it's a whole culture you're part of, social expectations and your whole future, I'll rise up, gradually there'll be a pay increase, and your whole life becomes bound with that. So... these middle executives, they're given 10 minutes notice. And they just cry like babies. Careful, you can't be telling me this again. So the top executive was telling me, sometimes these guys can't even drive themselves home. They have someone else has to drive them home. They're just shattered. They left home Friday morning, said goodbye to the kids, the wife, as usual, made their trip to work to their office, and then they're turning right around, going back. What are they going to tell their kids? What are they going to tell their wife? They just feel like totally, totally useless. You can imagine if it was you. You have a hard time driving yourself home. You just walk in the door. Your wife's probably at work because these days both parents work. And you just slump in the chair and kind of turn on the TV. And you're just like in a daze and... wonder what I'm going to tell the kids when the kids come home from school. they give you some severance pay, a couple of months' salary. They give you all your annual leave pay that you didn't take. So it's enough to keep you going for some months. But still, it's just the blow that you are now amongst the unemployed. You, a middle manager who was with that company for 15 years, you are now in the ranks of the unemployed. You are going to have to beg for a job. This is stress, and it's quite common. So the executive was telling me, he said, okay, what do you think the other people who work for that firm who didn't get laid off, what do you think they're thinking now?
What are you next?
Right. Why should I give my all in all? Why should I give a damn? That's the way they treat him like that. You know, soon it'll be me. So I'll just, you know, do the minimum, you know. And so the whole corporate loyalty, the whole company loyalty just goes down the drain. No one trusts anybody. No one gives a damn for anyone. There's distrust. There's lack of going the extra distance to do get things done. In this way, everything breaks down. I know, in fact, I know one lady. She worked 19, almost 20 years for, was Ansett Australia. And she was about to retire with all the benefits, pension, you know, everything. A week before she was to retire, Ansett Australia went under. She lost all her benefits, all her seniority. She finally got another job with newly formed Australian Airlines, a branch of Qantas, but zero seniority, starting at the bottom again, after 20 years. 20 years, she was 1 week away from her, you know, from her pension. And this is what's going on today. So you can imagine how people feel. You can put yourself in those shoes. It's like, what's going on with this world? What would you do? Just go on a drinking binge or something? It's a horrible feeling. These people are shattered. And not only are those who are laid off shattered, but as I said, the other people in the company or their business, they're watching and saying, hey, this could be me. Why should I, you know, work up a sweat for this company, you know? It's every man for himself, you know? We'll just pretend to do the job. And the corporate leaders or the company leaders may give rallying speeches, pep talks, come on, let's pull together, we'll go that extra distance for the business. And everyone's thinking, yeah, sure. I'm doing what I gotta do and nothing more. And if you're not watching me, I'll certainly do less. So you can see, how can a business or a company stay together in such a climate? Also, how can a nation stay together? People have no allegiance to anything anymore except their own individual sovereign sense gratification. That's their concern for sovereignty. My own sovereign sense gratification. My own, getting mine. So I've noticed these things everywhere. It's quite sad. I was just recently in the UK before I went to India. And there, I don't know if you know, but the UK has England particularly, has the lowest marriage rate in Europe and the highest divorce rate. It's in Mother England. And more children are conceived outside of wedlock than inside. That's England right now. You're England. Simon's from England. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. More children are conceived outside of wedlock than inside. But why is it that more children are born inside wedlock than outside? Because of abortion. But the fact is that more are conceived outside of marriage than inside marriage. So this is what's going on today. There's just no cohesiveness on any level. Not economic, not in terms of family. Where is it? Sometimes I look at New Zealand and wonder, what will hold this country together? It's not any more resting on, you know, the kind of pseudo-Christian morals. Christianity's faded in New Zealand 50 years ago or 40 years ago. Yeah. I've been to the churches here just to check out what's going on, and you'll find many old people there. mainly. And the younger generation, those who are under 30, are no longer influenced by the kind of, tidy British culture. Just be well-mannered, be modest, have integrity when someone's watching. It's all gone. In case you haven't noticed, amongst persons under 30. Yeah, there's just... You're under 30, yes? So that doesn't mean anything to you, does it? Nice, tidy British culture, Be well-mannered, speak nicely, Excellent. That doesn't mean anything to you. Under 30, they're all listening, to rap music, and that's their values. Just, let's get it on. Let's go for it, whatever. So, I guess, Simon, you're from England. Can you see any remnants in New Zealand? Or do you see any remnants in England?
Not really, huh?
You're from outside London, right?
Yeah.
You see some vague echo, right? Some slight echo. So one wonders, what's going to hold these countries together? There's no more common dream that everyone's having. It's like each person for himself, herself, just try to do what you gotta do to get what you gotta get. That's the bottom line. Now, is the result of all that happiness? Is the result of all that fulfillment? No. So this is what we have today. We have lots of stress and lots of emptiness. Now, what brings on the stress and emptiness? Stress comes from complication, and the emptiness comes from inauthenticity. First, I like that we analyze our life for complication. If we can reduce the complication in our life, then we can deal with stress. So we do these exercises in our seminars. I'd like to ask you to write down five things that you feel are unnecessary complications in your life, which may lead to stress now or in the future. Now I'm debating. Usually we write anonymously, and then I pass the papers around, and someone reads someone's paper, and you don't know who it is. This group is small. I don't know. Do you want to read your own, or do you want it anonymous? Who goes for anonymous? Who wants to read their own? It won't be inhibiting to read your own. Read your own? Oh, sure. We'll do anonymous. That way, you'll write what you really feel, and no one will know it's you, because I mix all the papers up and hand them around randomly. So you can really write down five things that, when you think about it, but you have to think about it, these things are complications in my life. When I think about it, which I may not do all the time, these complications cause stress. Well, before we, let's just make sure everybody knows everyone. We can start here.
Julian.
Julian's from, he's from Germany. He's an American citizen, but lives in Germany. Born in Germany, too.
Yes.
Okay. He just holds an American passport out of convenience.
I'm Robert.
Robert, yes. I met you before?
In the hallway.
Yeah.
In Taiwan.
Yeah. Okay. Simon of London.
Peter.
Georgia.
Yeah. Change your hairstyle, didn't you?
I don't
believe that's right. Yeah. Confused me for a second.
Kara.
Karen's been here before.
Julia. Maria.
Maria. Yes.
Maria stayed here several times.
Okay. So now think about it. Hey, put your life under a microscope and look for a complication as a way to perceive stress coming into your life. If not now, tomorrow, the future. Any kind of complication. Work, family, leisure, entertainment, whatever. Be on the lookout for complication. It could be, like for me, I'll give you an example, dealing with these video players of today. Complications, you know, these home video players. Too much. I don't even try, I just have somebody else do it. Okay, so we're looking for complications in life. Now it's going to be interesting what you recognize as complications. We may all have a different vision of what complications in life are. One person's complication may be another person's no worry. But we're going to try to find a common thread in all these proposed complications. It'll be interesting. All right, Maria, you want to start?
Deciding where to go next and for how long. Computers, finding work. Just three.
Deciding where to go next and how long, computers, and finding a job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Having many things to do at home, gardening, sorting out stuff, items, cooking, and yet having limited time because of working for a living in a manual job which has complicated processes and problems which continue to reoccur, and having a family which transmits its problems to me.
Whoa, that's interesting. Okay, so it was having to do many things around the house, and then...
Not having enough time.
Yeah, and then what?
Because of working for a living, and a manual job of complicated processes.
A manual job of complicated processes.
Which keep it going.
And then the family projecting there. That's a very descriptive picture. The first one, yours sounded like someone who's on the brink of getting into all that. Someone who's at the edge of the pool about to. This one sounds like someone who's already in the pool. I said it would be interesting because, you know, the one you read sounds like a person, you know, he or she is, you know, relatively unencumbered, but it's, you know, is ready to get into it. And now this one's really into it, you know, and kind of spitting up a bit of water in the middle of the pool. All right.
Pet cat.
What's that, pet cat?
Yeah. Electronics breaking. I don't know if this is a word, unsurety about future. Transportation, e.g. cars and traffic, nationality and immigration.
That's an interesting one. Nationality and immigration. That means, will you get to stay in the country you want to stay in, I say. So that would make everything a bit tense, you know. The others just start out light. I was about to say, well, you know, you got nothing to worry about. What was number two?
Electronics.
You know, it sounds like, you know, your CD player is spinning or something, you know. And what was the next one?
I'm sure it's going to be
Yeah, I guess if, you know, if you're not sure what your immigration status is, it tends to, you know, it does tend to cloud your future. Yes?
Three sons. Number one, getting along with other staff at work. Number two, trying to make computers achieve the outcomes I want. Computers have redefined what frustration means for me. Number three, getting along with other people in general.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting, yes. Shows you how computerization is such a dominant force these days. Any respectable business or company is computerized, and so it adds a whole different element to life. The fact is, any middle-class person can get a laptop, and in that laptop, they're carrying the equivalent of a firm with 20 accountants, secretaries, so on and so forth. They've got that in their laptop. So that has totally redefined the way employment is and how business is done. One laptop, you know, medium-powered laptop, that is actually the equivalent of 20 secretaries, accountants, and so on and so forth. It's amazing. Now, how many people can use their laptop to that kind of proficiency? That's another thing. But the potential is there. But what do you have to do with your life to get to that potential? Therefore, most people find, and statistics show, that you get a computer and you end up depending, you know, on somebody else to help you with your computer. Okay?
Living in a city, putting too much pressure on myself for not living someone else's ideals, not having an adequate living space, hearing what others think, not enough shelter and location.
Yes, Robert?
All right.
Here's Robert, you're
Peter.
Yes,
yes. Being unfit and lazy. Computers?
Wow.
Can't resist sugar. Lack of communication skills.
That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Someone's pointing out health. How health problems cause complications. Okay. Simon?
Low income, not enough hours of work. Not welcome in my flat. The people in the house can be inconsiderate. And number three, trying to fit extra work into my life, as well as other things I enjoy from study.
So, this one, this person, is submitting that not enough work, not enough income. One thing we're going to do after this is each one of you is going to go over a list that you have and give suggestions for getting rid of the complications. Just like with this one you just read. It was for me, I would say, well, are you sure that you don't, are you sure you require more work? Maybe you should just reduce your desires, reduce, you know, your wants, and try to fill your time with more valuable things than just work or looking for work. That's just an example. That was all, Simon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Robert?
Number one is illness. Two is finding a place to live. Three, language, proper understanding and precise understanding. Four is tiredness. Five, no real commitment in relationship. Real is underlined. Mm-hmm. Illness is underlined and tiredness is underlined.
Mm-hmm. Here we are back to health again. It might help us to think, where do these health problems come from? Is it just a given? Or just, are we living in such a way that brings about health problems?
All right. People, personalities, technology, time, age, and work.
So once again, computers, technology, and people you have to associate with. Is that
yeah? People, personalities.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how are we going to simplify? We've written these things down as complications, which means, a complication means, I wish it was simpler. Things shouldn't be so intricate. I can do without the complexity. The complexity is driving up a wall. It's unnecessary. So, ideally, I want you to see in your mind that you're wielding a cleaver, and you're going to chop through the complexity. How would you do it? If this was your list. How would you wield a cleaver and or machete and just hack your way through the complexity into the clearness of simplicity and being unfettered? What would you do?
With my complications?
Yeah, you've got the list and you've got the machete in your hand. You're going to hack your way out of the jungle of complexity.
Yeah, well, shall I repeat my list and then my suggestion?
The list of, you know...
Yeah, the list of deciding where to go next and for how long.
Uh-huh.
Computers and finding work.
Uh-huh.
So, for me, it's clear, well, this person just needs to get sorted and find work, because then everything would, you know, follow in, because then you would know where to go. But finding work is probably the question mark is what kind of work. So I think we pick, well, this person would, you know what he wants, she wants, and just everything would fall in place. So it's for me like walking around and not really eating the soup, you know, like, you know, not really make a decision. So that's someone who's not clear about.
Well, once you sign up and get a job, then you're clear, is that it?
Well, what do you really want?
Yeah. So how do you manifest what you really want? By getting a job?
Not necessarily.
Uh-huh. Suppose a person says, I'll just stay on the dole.
Well, that's the decision that makes them happy.
So, you would wield the machete on this, hacking your way through the jungle of complexity by saying, look, either I'm going to get a job or I'm not. I'm going to get a job in Wellington, or I'm going to move to Christchurch, I'm going to get a job in Christchurch, that's the way it's going to be.
No, do what makes you happy, that's what I would recommend. Do what makes you happy, and everything falls into place where you go. That's not a problem anymore.
Okay, one question since you brought up. How do you do it whatever makes you happy? How do you do that? For you, how do you do that? You wake up in the morning and say, oh, okay, it's Wednesday morning, I'm gonna just do whatever makes me happy. Do you do that?
No, I think it's probably lifelong process, but it's you start at one thing which, you know, makes you happy because you've lived some time of your life, so you have life experience. And you should be able to figure out one thing which you're interested in.
How many of you, when you go to work, you're doing what makes you happy? Anyone here? Okay, that's interesting. I like to hear about it. When you go to work, this is what, wow, going to work, this is what makes me happy. Okay, I like to hear about that. It's interesting. Last time we had this session, there was 15 people here, and they're all groaning about their job. They hated it, they've got nothing to do with it. Today is a bit different. We've got some work fanatics, or you're just doing something that you really like. Maybe you're musicians or something, you know. Artists. Someone was just telling me that in New Zealand there's a special dole for artists. Is that stuff? What's the reason for that?
Oh, the Prime Minister is the Minister for Arts and Culture.
I've never heard of anything like that. Artist dole. They just expect if you're an artist, you're probably not going to get a job, but you're doing meaningful work for society, producing fine art. I'm smoking a lot of dope.
There's an enterprise dole as well.
Mm-hmm.
People want to start their own businesses.
Mm-hmm. How long does that last for?
6 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
It depends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you have, Julie?
I'm having many things to do at home. Adding some young stuff. Cooking and having lunch with that.
Mm-hmm. And what more?
The other one?
No, is that the whole list? That's all. Whole.
Working in a manual job, which has complicated processes and problems, which continue to reoccur. and having a family which transmits its problems.
So, what would you do with this one? If this was you, how would you hack your way through this complexity?
Maybe prioritize the things you need to do at home and just spend a day to get it all, like the sorting out of the way to put it back to it. And with the family thing, maybe just actually just some time out.
For yourself?
Yeah.
You haven't had a family yet. Sounds really idealistic, doesn't it?
That's great.
Well, what do you think your mother and father would do in this situation?
Get stressed. Especially if like the job's stressful and then they bring it home and then the family's like.
Have you seen it?
Some days.
So you feel it's just all a matter of properly organizing the home. It's just a matter of that.
Maybe.
Make a to-do list and prioritize and it all works. And as far as a family loading, offloading all their problems on you, you just say, no, no more. It works like that. No more. So what to do?
Maybe look a bit deeper into what's really going on.
Look a little bit deeper into your role in the family and cast it aside if he doesn't convert somehow. She seems to be presenting this with an attitude that, well, I guess you're just stuck. Start a relationship on the side just to give you some breath of fresh air. But it's more complicated, huh? Cheaper to keep what you got, huh? Unless you signed a prenuptial agreement. Is that popular in New Zealand now? It's the rage in Australia. Everyone's talking about, before you sign it online, get the prenups. Get the prenup all worked out, you know. Must be a bit awkward, I mean, making these prenuptial agreements. In the unlikely event that we do divorce, we will divide the assets in such and such a way, taking into account that I brought such and such to the marriage and you brought such and such. In the unlikely event that there's going to be a divorce, it would be more honest to say that in the likely event that we're going to break up, I'll get the house back because it was my house. It must be legal to do that in New Zealand, right? Definitely everybody. If they marry at all in Australia, which is not that common anymore, they definitely make a prenuptial agreement. Make a document. Because, you know, each person's worried, you know, I'll invest in this relationship, bring all my assets, and then, you know, there's a divorce, you know. Especially if there's kids, the wife can grab the lion's share of all the assets, you know. Run off with another guy, and I'll lose all my assets too. It's happened. I've seen that. Many cases. Man and woman have three kids. The woman runs off with another man, and you know, divorce. And she can, you know, because you know, she can go for the lion's share of the assets. Really, a high stress thing, you know, marrying these days. Just don't know what you're biting into. All right, Harry.
PitKat, electronics breaking. Surety about future transportation into housing traffic, nationality and immigration.
So what would you do to clear out this complexity?
I don't know about the PitKat. I know what the situation is. They might be tied to national and immigration because they have to leave the country and then it's homeless. So I don't know. And then you could bribe someone in the son's apartment. What's to do immigration to get married?
Now he's got it. Okay. Is that reducing or increasing the complexity? Probably you couldn't bribe anyone. It's hard to bribe. But you could pay someone to marry you, couldn't you? But from what I know, they really, they drag, both of you, to an interview at the immigration office, and, they really work, they got to produce pictures and all sorts of things, and they want to see some love letters, and I know because when I was applying for my residency, I would see couples there waiting for their interview, rehearsing their lines. Now, where did I meet you? So that'd be probably more. I don't think people don't bribe bureaucracies in New Zealand, do they?
No, but it's very. I was just thinking, by and large, if you get caught, you get sort of crucified, really.
If you get caught,
accepting bribes, basically a bit of a pariah.
Electronics breaking, probably just let go of it and then let it. Food call the shop. Food call in the shop. Good attachment to this. Transportation. This person might be in stress on the way to work. So, take a bus or a train, or a bike. Walk with some classical music on while we're driving.
How would you feel if you had to confront all these things? Not a big deal to you?
I guess the nationality immigration would be good pretty much for anyone because it was quite a major. So I don't know how to deal with it. But electronics breaking and that means having this person to put the easiest one on the list apart from the transportation. But cars and traffic maybe leave to work earlier and look for a bike or something. Something healthy.
Alright.
You all seem to be too intimidated by the list except for the immigration, which is if you've never had to go through that, it depends on what kind of country you're from. If you're from what's considered a developing country and you're trying to for immigration, New Zealand can be quite harrowing. I remember as I was coming from the USA, so it was really?
Yeah.
You want to come to you? I remember I had to get some pictures. So I went to, in Wellington, on Willis Street, I went to a photo shop, and I said, I need some pictures. They said, New York, you want American passport pictures? I said, no, I need pictures for, New Zealand immigration. And the girl was kind of like, two girls in their early 20s were working the photo shop. Did you say it again? Where are you from? I'm from the USA. Where are you? I'm New York. And you want to come here? if you're from, someplace like Bangladesh immigration can be quite harrowing. I saw the people there, and they were really in stress, figuring out some way to get in the country. I guess unless you've never been through that before, you can't imagine what it's like. Your whole future is riding on whether they'll accept you into the country or not. Mm-hmm. So yes, solving that is a major source of anxiety. But then maybe you would say, why do you want to come here? Maybe if it doesn't work for you, I mean, is it so bad to be back in your home country, trying to live a simple life? But do you really think most people can live like that, be happy anyway? Could you? All right.
And getting along with other staff at work, and this one sort of ties in as well. Maybe getting along with other people in general. I don't totally have the answer, but I just think that just to focus yourself in your job description. And things should just follow. You don't get caught up in other people's rubbish. And the other one is trying to make computers achieve outcomes I want. Computers have redefined what frustration means for me. You have to remember that a computer is a machine, just a machine.
Like a clothes dryer or something.
So, yeah.
Oh, you're saying don't base your whole life on it?
Yes.
It may be easier said than done in a lot of cases, because the computer seems to offer the hope of simplifying your life, when actually it really makes life complicated. Unless you're really disciplined in your use of computers. And not many people are so disciplined. The more it promises to do, you'll find the less it delivers. But the promise is great. This will be so easy. If you just keep your computer needs minimal, internet, email, and maybe word processing, I guess you won't have much of a problem. But it's really hard to discipline yourself to keep your computer needs to the minimum, because there's always new programs promising you that they're going to do everything. They rarely do without a complication, right? Okay.
Living in a city. I'll leave your putting too much pressure on myself for not living someone else's ideals. Not having an adequate living space. Caring what others think. Not enough chanting meditation. In regards to living in a city, it can be pretty hectic. I understand that because I'm in it as well.
So how do you cope with it?
You can always move out of the city if you don't like it. maybe you have to be here because of work or study, and maybe knowing that it's just for a short time. Maybe that's okay, but if it's for a long time, you might want to rethink why you're actually here. Because living out in nature is a lot more nurturing for yourself.
So how many people can find jobs out of the sticks?
That's true. Maybe you have to get educated in the city so you can go out into the sticks and
do what?
Or you can buy some land and work off the land.
Where do you get the money to buy the land?
Get the money from starting small, maybe, or having a job in the city for a while. Maybe, I don't know.
You gotta be creative about paying off your school debts, your education.
True.
I read at the National Bank, they have some statistics that the average woman in New Zealand takes 27 years to pay back her education loans. Yeah, 27 years. So you go to school so that you can have a better future. Easier crack of the job market, but then so much of your life you're paying back loans.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you recommend?
Well, if this person's class is staying the same, just get out into the nature, go to the parks, go up in the boys, go out to the outskirts, take bus trips to the beach or something.
Regularly?
Yeah, that's the time when they have time to do that. So that's when I guess chanting meditation can kind of just take your mind off the city. The next question, next qualification, putting too much pressure on yourself for not living someone else's ideals. That's me, though.
How would you do it?
Struggling a bit on myself.
Who puts on someone else, you know, their own idea? What is it?
Ideas.
Mm-hmm. Expectations.
Yeah.
Parents or?
Parents, family, friends, teachers.
Teachers?
Well. Yeah. I think everybody in society has different ideas for people and trying to put everybody into the answer.
How would, for example, how would your friends put unnecessary expectations on you? Like Georgie Miller, you know, this is really, you really gotta do this. I mean, this is really great. I mean, you know. Or just the fact that you're with them and they're all doing something makes you feel like you want to do it.
I guess, I just like everybody to be happy around me. If someone offers me something that they think would be good for me, like, I sort of think it's nice to, you know, well, like, if you think it's something great, I'll, you know, try it out and see, you know.
Don't go walking around late at night.
No, well, I don't. It's not illegal or anything. If someone offers me advice and it's a, you know, it's harmful to me.
So you just feel soft-hearted and a natural desire to oblige someone, or?
Yeah, maybe something like a month or so.
Be careful. Men like that. Men really like to put tricks on ladies.
Yeah.
That's a main male tactic, you know?
Yeah.
You should really care for me. You should really be concerned. I mean, you're just cold, aren't you? You heard that one before?
I don't know. I was just trying to think. I guess trying to. I don't know. Just, you know, ask yourself. Is this going to benefit me? Do I really believe this will benefit me?
Do I really believe this is going to benefit me?
Or is it really going to work for me? Or you know, compatible with me? Or, you know, is it going to be disruptive?
Okay, you're leading to some interesting points. This is going to really work for me. This is going to really benefit me.
Not in a real kind of, this is all about me, but...
More subtle.
Yeah, I mean, is this going to...
More subtle falsehood.
Is this going to enhance my life? Is this going to make me a kinder, happier, compassionate person? That's what I think.
Okay.
That's what I think. Not having an adequate living space. Well, that's with... ties in the city, I think. You're living in the city and it's not happening. And then also, just having your own space, I guess. And just, you should either find another living space or. Just know that it's a shelter and that's all you need.
Okay, Peter?
Okay, I've got the five complications are being unpleasant and lazy, computers, can't resist sugar, and lack of communication skills. So I'm kind of jotting down some thoughts as they come arise during discussion, it's kind of related. And so for being unpleasant and lazy, I think that I was just wondering whether actually my thoughts will work. What are being unpleasant and lazy really a problem? So my thoughts would be, I'd want to kind of tease out the feelings behind it, whether there's a sense of that my own love for myself maybe was, there's a kind of a way it was linked to my ideas about how I think I should be, I should be in a certain way, whatever it is. And it may be the issues, I've been in that sort of thing where you have sort of ideas about yourself. It tends to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and so I'm sometimes wondering whether maybe being unfit and lazy in the first place, I'd probably want to visit, would be was this idea really a reality, or is it something else behind it? That's just me. Computers, it says, I said that we've got computers, I guess that means more complicated, and basically I've got this, looking in my own related to my own experiences, is that you just got to live with that, that's what they are. But the other thing...
They are complicated.
Yeah. The other thing though, that often the frustration arises because of my expectations I have of them. And it's okay because I own them, but sometimes other people expect me to achieve things with computers.
Their computers are yours?
No, mine. They say, Peter, this is your job, go. And they say, right. And they don't realize how complicated it is, and then they get all upset at you when you can't achieve it.
Is that work or at home?
That's at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the thing I think, again, would be identifying whether the complication was something that you owned personally or whether it was some expectation being put on you, if there's a work situation from outside. And then if it is from outside, in a work situation of maybe voicing that to the people that have those expectations to realize, so at least flag wave to say, hey, look, this is, I'm having difficulty with something of the sort. So that would be I don't know if that confuses, make it kind of complicated. That's kind of, just basically about the expectations of what expectations about what it is that you hope to achieve
fulfillment.
Who owns those expectations?
Mm-hmm.
Can't resist sugar. My curiosity would be to, just as those desires for sugar arise, to set this, to follow them and watch what happens, because I'm thinking that that's really interesting. That's a very fascinating thread or cord to follow to see whether what the heck was all behind that. Again, these are just my ideas, so I'm seeing that some of the crazy ideas.
Just follow the desire for sugar and see.
Follow your thoughts. You think, the sugar, and you just, because I've got my pet things, I go, And while I'm doing it, why actually is it wanting to satisfy with the sugar in it?
But who thinks sugar? You really think sugar, or you think chocolate, or you think.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know, it's not my particular thing. Sugar's in it for me. But, but on the other hand, the thing of having something that you sort of crave or desire, mm-hmm. think you desire, is that often, like in my own experiences, is that the thing that it's actually fulfilling is something quite different from what it is I'm pursuing. Or at least there's an association, for me there's often just a kind of association that I make that I like. So, and lack of communication skills. Oh gosh, that's a real tough one. I've got two things here. Where do I want to connect with other people? In other words, what is it that when you're communicating, what is it that you're actually wanting to, at what level are you wanting to communicate? things. Is I've also got here. Well, the other thing that can make communication very difficult is when you get attached to the outcomes of the interactions that you're wanting to achieve. If you want to achieve a particular outcome or would like to be friends with someone, and sometimes that can get pretty complicated if you're attached to that. That's a bit my experience.
Okay.
I've got allowing her not snap out as well.
Allowing what?
Allowing her not snap out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not welcoming my flat, the people in the house can be inconsiderate. And trying to fit extra work into my life as well as other things I enjoy instead. Well, as for not being welcome in my own flat, I see two things you can do there. Either move flat or ask your flatmates if they'd like to move somewhere else. As for a low income, not enough hours of work, you could always look for another job, but then it says trying to fit extra work into my life as well as other things I enjoy and stuff. Well, it's kind of sort of contradicting itself. You know, because if you haven't got enough hours of work and trying to earn more money, but you don't want extra work because there's other things you enjoy and you've got study as well, then, you know, and with the low income here, I suppose get another job, but then you'd have even less time for studying and things you enjoy. So it's either sacrifice one or the other.
Okay.
So
yeah. I think our friend in the back. We missed you the first time, I think. Yes.
Driving,
mm-hmm.
New shoes, finding CD covers, being paid by the boss, pleasing others.
Mm. These are complications.
Yes.
Mm. Well, how would you fight your way through these complications or reduce them?
The driving. Learn to get by. To get people to show humility. Finding new shoes. I don't like that either. CD covers. Finding CD cover for CD in a big pile, probably color coded and a label. Being paid by the boss on time. Communicating.
Under laws, we have to get paid, or this is under the table.
Well, sometimes the boss is like paying.
Really? New Zealand? Yeah?
Mm.
Oh, I mean, it's a regular, it's not under the table.
I don't think there's that much under the table.
I really haven't had what's not his.
They're not paid, not paid for months.
Really?
What happy have you been?
Who would be so fools to, you know, work a job where you don't get paid?
That's excuses.
Oh, we'll, yeah, we'll pay next week, it's just a little delay this week.
In fact, the money has come through coming next week.
That's happened to you? Did it come through finally?
Yeah, for a month.
Well, I know in Russia, it's common. You're working in a factory producing shoes, and they just say, we can't pay you, so they take some shoes and sell them as your wage. Yeah.
And then that's when they're pleasing others. Having to live up to the expectation of what I was perceived. Maybe be this part of the that's right. Your ideal problem are at a break. It's displaced by appearance. There's always one of the people in the there's all of that communication there, probably. Just explain that things change. Okay, one thing. This week and another, new school.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
We did Robert, we did you?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This illness and finding a place to live, language, proper understanding, precise understanding, tiredness, no real commitment in relationship. I think that I would look at this person and look at the fifth thing first, because there's so no commitment to the relationship, and the real is put in, it's added in after the rest of the sentence is written. And I suspect that actually has a lot of bearing on the other things that they've written as unnecessary complications, and that if they wanted to eliminate these unnecessary complications, the first thing to do would be approach the fifth one, which actually might be finding a place to live, because if they found a place to live, then they could reevaluate and decide whether they actually did have any real commitment, or what their commitment was, or what they really felt, whether that was commitment or not, or something else. And then they could probably free themselves up mentally and spiritually, so that they can then release themselves from the burden that they put themselves under, the tiredness and illness. There's no sort of hint where the person is getting their tiredness or illness from, but sometimes that can actually come because you're not wanting, tiredness comes because you're not wanting to face something inside it, or deal with something in life, or facing inside of you. So, as for finding a place to live, that's not complicated at all. There's a sign on the hallway someone wants to do in Brooklyn, wants a vegan vegetarian flat made, $55 a week plus expenses, can't go wrong. Alternatives to that, if you really want to make it, I recently changed flats and decided that I would make some selections, and so I spent an entire day running around. But one of my flatmates, he just saw a sign and wandered up the road and moved in. You know, that So I didn't do it as simple as it could have been. Yeah, I made a decision that day and moved in. That was fine. There are more simple ways. It's the relativity. More simple.
I just want to ask a question from my own information about this process of flatmates. So often, you don't know the person who you're flatting with before. Someone says, hey, I need somebody to fill a spot, and you come along and they talk to you, yeah, he looks all right. Looks like he won't be some sort of hassle, and they'll say, okay, it's yours. Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
And they ask you how long you think you'll be sticking around, and you say, hey, could be 3 months, could be 6 months, and say, whatever,
That's sometimes, but you can tell whether that's a problem or not when you're looking for a flat, I think, because you'll find that people ask you different questions, and you ask different questions, and it's based on the feelings that you get once you walk into the place, and the things that you're thinking about, and the things they're thinking about, and the impressions you make on them.
So generally when you're flatting, I'm asking because, do they do this in the UK, flatting, Taylor?
Yeah.
In USA, it's unheard of. Unheard of. You don't. There's just no way, you live with somebody, except for students around a university. And even then, it's generally, they know the other students, they're in the same class or something. Year. That's true. Even at university, I don't remember anyone, flatting, what they call apartments, with someone they didn't know. It's just unheard of. Unheard of. You either have your own house, your own apartment, or forget it. So when I went overseas in 78, this is the first thing sounds strange, but you go flatting together. Somebody you don't know, letting someone into your home, your apartment.
The frequency, how fast it changes. So the combinations change within a year, several times, which is quite unusual, I think, but it's very usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all signs are always going up, flatmate needed. Interesting. And how much privacy do you have? It's just your room, that's your castle, and outside the room it's all common. And you share some duties like keeping the hall clean, or the kitchen clean, or the bathroom clean, or those who just forget it. Huh?
Well, none of them.
What's that?
Well, none of them gets clean.
Yeah. So outside your room everything's filthy. Is that usually where it lines up?
No.
I mean, I just thought, flatting together means probably there's some kind of relationships going on, or starting and stopping, and that's the connotation you would have in the States, that flatting together, but it's not like that though.
No, I've displaced her where I work at Massey University, so I've seen lots and lots of students brought in, lots of people, the whole floating thing, so I just thought, doesn't it probably grow up dust? Obviously not.
So it's not that people flat together, they start relationships because they're living in the same place.
Oh, sure. It's not the freeway person.
Oh, I see, not the freeway. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
The Nishan language and proper understanding, precise understanding, it could be in the same lines of just having trouble communicating with people. Or perhaps foreign language, proper understanding, precise understanding of foreign languages, that sounds like a complication that I guess is part of the learning process, to accept that you don't really, if you have an attitude of a beginner, and it's okay to learn, and it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay, then, you know, that, then every person you meet will teach you something a little bit more about what you need to know, whether that's language or anything else. So, you know, if you make a mistake in speaking in a foreign language, if it's a foreign language that it's referring to, then you have a conversation with somebody, they will they'll help you out. So it becomes easy. Alright. I suppose that sounds easier said than done, because that's just an attitude thing. Obviously, it can be quite difficult if you don't know how to get a room or get a meal. Yeah.
Okay. Is that it for your list?
Yeah, that's it. Because I think that tiredness and illness, they're underlined as with real, and I think that it's quite possible that, unless the person is happening the other way around, and that the person is quite ill, and therefore they find it difficult to find a place to live, maybe they have a bikini or something. I'm guessing that it's the other way around, and the first way, they're not quite happy with themselves within the relationship, and they need to find a new place, and they don't really want to have a struggle with it, but if they did do that and find themselves in personal space, that the tiredness would probably go away, and then they would be able to approach the illness.
Okay.
Clear? Okay, this list seems very general. Pizza, technology, time, age, and work. You can't really get away from pizza. Or in the world. And same with technology in today's world, unless you move to like a lonely place in the Amazon jungle. But even there you have the problem of age and work. You need to work, do something to live, and you're going to get old. Well, unless someone invents some miracle drug. But then still you'll have to work, because it's likely to be very expensive. So, and time, there's no way anyone can solve that one. So, any solution I can give to those would just be to change one's attitude to people and to technology, to see that if technology is complicated, to not become stressed from it, then if time's short, then just say, hey, so what? You get old, which everyone does, see that as just a thing that happens, and you can't do anything about it, so don't worry about it, and just go to work because you have to.
Okay. Now, tomorrow we're going to do the more volatile side, which is inauthenticity, meaning the feelings of emptiness. Today was just we're just gently getting our way into the explosive areas. Georgie touched on some explosiveness, which we'll explore in tomorrow's session. It's got to be something that, that makes me happy. Does something for me. So I didn't want to just deal with that on the first day. But tomorrow we'll definitely be getting into more explosive areas. For me, That's got to make sense for me, do something for me. We're going to deal with inauthenticity. How much are we for real in terms of what we're doing, or how much are we faking and just putting up with things and pretending or just going along? This is what causes deep feelings of loss of self-respect. You're lying to yourself, you live in a lie and you know it. could be in relationships, could be in reference to work or school or life in general. As everyone has hinted, there's a lot of peer pressure out there. And you don't want to lose your friends, you don't want to displease your family. And so, you know, you figure, yeah, I'll just do these things and I'll be accepted. I'll accept myself. And but some, there's a voice in you that says, ah, this isn't you. Is this all that's cracked up to me? Is this all necessary, all this hassle? Is this what you really want? I bet you wish you could just get the heck out of here. Or go somewhere else, or be around someone else, or be around no one. We're going to be dealing with that tomorrow. Inauthenticity. Being inauthentic to yourself, and then you're inauthentic to others. That's going to be a bit more explosive, so we'll see how we handle that one. This is a warm up. Maria's looking at me like, oh, I don't know if I'm coming tomorrow.
I can come tomorrow right. As well.
Yeah, okay. All right. What I'm trying to hope for is that we get a sense of feeling that we can do something. It's easy to engineer someone else's life, but your own, then, oh, but there's some things that just can't be changed. I've got problems that just can't find my way around. But when you take somebody else's life in your hand, yeah, you're just like Judy was saying, yeah, you just, you know, make a list, prioritize, you know, what's the problem with family, you know? So it's, I wanted you to get the feel of engineering someone else's life before you start dealing with your own. And hopefully you'll have that same courage tomorrow when we deal with your own life. It's nice to take a machete in hand and hack through the complexities of somebody else's life. I'm sure you've all given advice to others before. You know, all you really got to do is this, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the big deal? I mean, you've all done that, right? Yeah. It's just your own attachments, your own hang-ups. Oh, no one understands. No one's been through it quite like this. Oh, I don't know if there's any solution. You don't really understand. You're not really hearing me. It's not as easy as you think. So we'll be dealing with that tomorrow. We're about 50% down the road where we want to go, in terms of tonight's discussion. But where we're heading is towards the area that Georgie was touching upon. You know, what's it for me? What's in it for me? What does this do for me? In order to be honest with yourself, you have to have that kind of resonance. You know, you have to ask yourself that kind of question. You know, what's it doing for me? I mean, is this me? Otherwise, you'll feel inauthentic. But then we have to deal with the question, well, who the hell are you anyway? If you can't handle that question, then how can you ever build up a sense of self-authenticity? Everyone's always habitually asking themselves that question every moment. What's in it for me? I mean, does this really do it for me? Is this me, this thing? Whether it's a relationship or a situation or work or home, or it's just constantly, just like Robert was saying, when you're looking for a place to flat, you walk in and kind of sense the atmosphere. Could this be me? You know, could I find a niche here? You know, but you kind of see if it gives off the impression of being too noisy or too busy, or just pick up on the mood and life it in here. So we want to get to that sense of self identity, whether that is authentic or not, because here is where we may find all the problems, the root of all the problems. Why you bring on stress and emptiness, complication, inauthenticity, why you feel lost in the world of names. You're just basically dealing with a world of matter which has different names. Now, is there something else in the world of matter that's important, that's non-material, that we have to talk about? Then we can start repacking our life, going the other direction. Once we deal with this sense of self-authenticity, am I being for real? Have you ever had somebody look you in your eyes and say, I'm for real? Are you? No? No? No?
No. You do.
Karen, you want to do that? Karen?
Blank.
No. Yeah, no. Remind you of a popular song in the, I don't know, listen to the 60s, early 70s, Baby, I'm for Real. Yeah. None of you guys have ever presented that kind of plea. Isn't that a necessary thing these days? To be for real? So much so that no one demands it, huh? You never demanded of anyone, were you? Are you for real with me? Are you being for real?
Yeah,
no, I'm not supposed to ask,
yeah.
Oh, you asked that?
Yeah.
And what was the answer?
Well, yes, yeah.
Well, then someone did say
it. Doubt somebody's belief or behavior, probably.
And they would say, oh, yeah, of course, sure.
For real.
And then you look in their eyes and see the sort of light of truth. So it just depends on how extra of a liar the guy was, right? Right? Has happened to you also, Julie? You looked into the, are you being for real with me? And then you watch for the answer and see if you can feel your female intuition, whether the guy's telling you the truth.
Of course
they're going to
say yes.
Oh my God. Every man will say yes. Right? It's part of the game, right?
Oh, yes.
Now everyone's starting to really be honest now in the waiting moments. Do you, George, you've asked like some guys, are you for real with me?
Yeah, I have actually.
And then what do? You look in their eyes, yeah. Or you try to feel their vibrations, you know, that they're. And what do they do?
I don't know. Back and try not
to invest in my car. Of course! Because I don't want to lose their sense gratification, so. Right? You got me around.
Not for there.
You know, they don't want to let their sense object off the hook, though, you know, of course. They muster up as much sincerity as they can pretend to have.
Yeah, of course,
I mean, how could you ever think anything else? Otherwise, you don't. I mean, you know, I just live for you. You know?
You guys said something like that? No, never said like that? Yeah, you have, Simon?
Of course, I live for you. I mean, you know, it's amazing, but I guess I find myself during the tape not being able to avoid thinking of you.
You said things like that? Yeah, yeah.
I was just trying to think. I was trying to think that far
back. Of course, if you're married, man, I don't know if you're married, man. I guess then you kind of all hold that. You know, you're kind of signed, sealed, and delivered. What about you?
No.
No? You've never tried to present your reality to someone in order to secure some benefits?
No, I don't think I have.
You know, being Julian, I mean, what you see is what you catch, you know? Now we're starting to. As you see, I'm gently guiding you into some more volatile areas. George's already got a look on her face.
I don't know if I want to go any further with it. Julie's kind of got the bright-eyed look of an idealistic teenager, you know? Like,
well, that wasn't that bad.
Maria looks like a veteran, you know, like, hey, been there, done that. Heard it all, no thanks. All right, for those who come tomorrow, it'll be interesting. I guess the brave will show up tomorrow. It'll be fun, though.
All right. So thank you very much. So remember, if you're able to come tomorrow, it's inauthenticity, personal inauthenticity. In terms of yourself and your relationships with others, will lead to a deep sense of emptiness. All right, thank you.